the heavens, no man, no weapon. Formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtapositioning us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walked through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots, we on the ground, the camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure. Oh,
good morning, welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You know my voice already, it's Levin Miller. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for letting me join you. I don't know what it is that you do at 11 o'clock, but whatever it is that you do, I'm happy that you are doing that with me. I got a little bit of housekeeping to do this morning. I woke up this morning, interestingly enough, and, well, that wasn't interesting. I'm thankful I woke up this morning. I woke up this morning, and to my surprise, I learned about the death of the mother of, you know them to be, Ambassador Devon Roll and his brother, Bishop Denzel Roll, who have been quite a fix to my family for, well, I'm almost 40 and I don't have any recollection of them not being a fix to my family. So I'm going to say for about 40 years. And their mother has been somebody that I have known, as well as their father, who is people that I would describe as bedrock members of the faith. I don't have words to offer. I don't even know what it is you tell men that have reached to the level of Bishop Roll or Ambassador Roll. I know they know the gospel. I know that they preach that gospel to many people. I do also know that although you preach the message that the Lord gives and the Lord takes, it kind of resonates a bit differently when the Lord takes yours. And for whatever it is worth, if I am able to speak into their consciousness, I want to say that I think you all have done a remarkable job as sons. I've heard of, particularly in the last couple of weeks, Bishop Denzel Roll's commitment to his mother and her well-being and just being there with her hand and foot. And on at least four occasions, I tried to book him and I couldn't book him. And he said, listen to me, I am just trying to get mommy through this period. And my thoughts were with them and I had hoped for the better, but she's obviously transitioned. And for whatever it is worth, Bishop Roll, Ambassador Roll, and to the other brothers that I don't know as well, I think you boys have done the very best that you could. You all have been the very best sons that any mother could have asked for. And, you know, let the memories of her warm your heart, because you know that she's gone on to the reward that you yourselves preach about. And so they who preach the gospel must live by it, eh? And so I send my regard on my behalf and on behalf of my family, however I compose that. I don't need to say it. You all know we are here, and I trust that I will see you all shortly. So to Bishop Roll, again, an Ambassador Roll, if you know them, don't swamp them with phone calls. I want to say this. A lot of times, people die. You feel like the automatic thing to do is call me. I may not necessarily need a phone call right now. But if there is some way that you can, show your kindness to them, I invite you to do so. I know, again, they are both people in public life, so they will probably be around the place. All right, so that's that. Outside of that, I have a guest in studio with me this morning, but I couldn't resist the urge to read an article. It's a very small one. Of course, it's in the Tribune, believe it or not, Tribune, written by Neil Hartnell. And it is interesting when you see the language that the court uses in this article, right? So the article is about the Attorney General, and it says, the failure of the Attorney General's office to make full and frank disclosure has resulted in the overturning of a €1.63 million or €1.63 million asset freeze imposed on a convicted Italian businessman with mafia links. Justice Ian Winder, in a July 20th, 2021 ruling, found that the failure to provide all details on Italian court proceedings involving Pirino Zanga meant that the original restraint imposed on his Bahamas-based bank account at Equity Bank and Trust could not stand. Zanga, who Italian media reports said was at the center of a corruption probe tied to the Calabrian NDRANGHETA, you pronounce it, mafia, one of the country's most powerful organized crime groups, was convicted of bankruptcy, tax fraud, money laundering, corruption, and criminal association in the Milanese courts in October of 2017. Subsequently, the Attorney General's office received a request from Italy's public prosecutor on February 5th, 2018, informing it that Zanga and his wife, Ornella Gildari, were being investigated for further crimes. The Bahamian authorities were asked to investigate the couple's potential assets in the nation, including bank accounts at Equity Bank and Trust at Ansbacher, Bahamas. There is no suggestion either institution did anything wrong. Zanga's conviction was upheld by the Milan Court of Appeal on September 24, 2018, which also ordered that €1.78 million of his assets be confiscated. The Attorney General's office, €1.78 million of his assets be confiscated. The Attorney General's office that received a February 17, 2020 request from the Italian authorities to freeze €1.383 million in the Equity Bank and Trust account, right? I want to again point this out. The court said the failure by the Attorney General's office to make full and frank disclosure has resulted in the overturning of a $0.383 million. And I think it's interesting. I'll tell you why. Because in another story, in the very same paper, right, what happens is they begin to talk about the Court of Appeal ruling the other day where the Attorney General office, again, kind of didn't land the plane, right? So this article here says, the Court of Appeal has denied the government's application to stay the application. The Court of Appeal has denied the government's application to stay the effect of its ruling affirming Supreme Court Justice Ian Winder's landmark decision on citizenship in the Bahamas. The government wanted the ruling stayed until the Privy Council resolves the matter, and amid concern that people will use the ruling to claim citizenship in the meantime, right? It goes on and on and on. It's a long article. There was a quote I want to get to. The quote was, so the story goes on and says, to convince the judges of a need for a stay, government lawyers filed affidavits from the Deputy Permanent Secretary Kingsley Smith, Donette Williamson, and Parliamentary Registration Department employee Jeffrey McPhee. They stated that the people have visited the Parliamentary Registration Department seeking to apply for citizenship since the major ruling. This is a quote. If these affidavits were filed to convince us that due to the court's judgment upholding the decision of Winder J, the floodgates were opened to a tide of applications for registration as Bahamians, for Bahamian passports, and to be registered to vote, they are abject failures. And that is a quote by Justice Isaacs. And so I want to say, right before I introduce my guest, that the Attorney General reminds me of Joe Frazier in 1973 against George Foreman I have a 2-minute clip. Play the clip for me. This, you know, so he goes into the Senate. Fred Mitchell punches him around. Then he goes into the Supreme Court, and then Fred Smith punches him around. And then he runs into Wayne Monroe, who punches him around. And every time I hear the Attorney General going up against somebody, I just hear the resonating of the Frazier fight. Down goes Frazier. Down. That's how I feel about the Attorney General. Let's hear the clip.
There's another left by George. He's getting into Frazier's head. We'll find out tonight how much the Ali fight took out of Frazier, if anything. And we'll find out tonight just how good George Foreman is in punching and in taking a punch. I think he hurt Joe Frazier. I think Joe is hurt. Angie Dundee, Ali's trainer right next to me, is saying it. You may hear him. Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! The heavyweight champion is taking the mandatory 8-count, and Foreman is as poised as can be in a neutral corner. He is as poised as can be. We have a minute left in this first round, and already this fight is proving out what some have expected. Oh, that left is getting in there. Underneath, Archie Moore is yelling to Foreman. We've got the excitement here that we look for. Frazier is dazed. He is getting hit again and again and again. The same head that was hit so often by Muhammad Ali. Frazier is dazed. You see the countdown for the first round. Foreman has not panicked. Foreman is going about his job. Foreman is all over Joe Frazier. Frazier is down again, and he may be. No, he is rising. He is game. He doesn't know where he is. The mandatory 8-count. He doesn't know where he is. Now the round is about to end. Two knockdowns in the first round of Joe Frazier. Down again. No saving by the bell. He's up, and so the fight continues. Three knockdowns in the... Oh, he is all over Frazier again. He has Frazier in the corner. Frazier's knees buckled. He is down. He is down for the fourth time in the fight. George Foreman is doing to Joe Frazier what he did as a 19-year-old to a veteran Russian, a fellow named Iona Shapulin, in October of 1968. In the Mexico City arena. A quick left from George. Another. Frazier is down for the fifth time in this fight. Fifth time. Three times in the first round. Twice in the second. McCanny checked his senses. Checked Frazier's senses. Right. It's target practice for George Foreman. It is target practice. Frazier is ready to go again. Joe is standing. There he goes. Three times. The fight is stopped. No, it is not. It is not stopped. Angie Dundee is screaming, stop it. Bertie Pacheco, Ali's doctor, next thing. It is over. It is over. It is over in the second round.
I'm trying to figure out who is going to be Carl Bethel's Angie Dundee, because, you know, poor Angie is over in the corner screaming to the top of his lungs, please stop the fight. Stop it. The thing I like about the George Foreman, Joe Frazier fight is, if you didn't have eyes and were only listening to the fight, right, you would wonder if only George Foreman was in the ring. I haven't heard a single punch thrown by Joe Frazier. I know one thing, Joe was really good at hitting. The only reason I knew Joe was in the ring was because he hit the ground so many times. Other than that, there was no need to mention it. Could y'all please stop Carl Bethel from being the Attorney General? This is embarrassing now. I mean, the people in Italy even know that it is ridiculous. Anyway, that's not what I'm here to talk about. I just had to get that off my chest, you know, because like the old people say, I won't purge, right? I'm joined in studio on his birthday. So please make sure that y'all go get him some cake or something. I don't know if he like cake. You know him as Reverend Christopher Roberts. Is it the inimitable? Well, you know, y'all just have a lot of titles. Is it the inimitable Christopher Roberts? Morning, sir. How are you?
I'm well. The only title I have, sir, is Roberts.
It's been a long time. I've been trying to get you here a whole... So you have to forgive me, right? Because I know since the last time I saw you, you had big time concert, big time CD release, all kind of international award. Every time I see you, someone taking a picture of you. So I figured it had to be like the inimitable, you know? I wasn't really sure how to introduce you. But how has that been going?
Listen, as a friend of mine would always say, God has been kind. Mm-hmm. I'm just grateful to God for his favor because often, even this morning, as I reflected on my life and my younger life mm-hmm. and the trajectory that I was on, there's nothing in my past that would have suggested that I would be experiencing what I am presently. And so it's all to the grace, it's all to the honor and glory of God in what he's doing in my life. We were nominated locally in the Bahamas Gospel Music Awards for 13. We had 13 nominations, mm-hmm. and we won 8 of those.
Yeah.
Then we were in Atlanta nominated in 3 categories. We came back home with the Church Choir of the Year Award. And we're presently nominated in an awards program in Antigua and Barbuda. Mm. That's coming up in October. And the Marlon Awards is coming up later in the year, and we're anticipating some nominations there. So, again, to God be the glory.
And you say it's still not the inimitable. Still just...
No, man. Listen, Levan, I've been in church long enough to know one thing. You don't try to take God's glory. And listen to me. It ain't got nothing. Trust me when I tell you. It has nothing to do with me. Mm. I was just the vessel.
Yeah.
God, literally all God. Mm. And so for me, it ain't about me, man.
You turned 54 today.
Yeah, 54.
How much 54. More of it do you think you got left?
I honestly, longevity is in my family.
Okay.
I'll be happy with what God promised.
Okay.
All right. I'll be happy with that.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know, one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you is because, you know, we are in the month of July. There was a whole lot of a hoo-ha around the way we did our independence celebration. Let me say that if there was anything I took away from it was Charles Sanders is an extraordinary man. I mean, the edifice that they had that choir, you know, presentation, and it was magnificent. Like Salem was, the acoustics was good. The lighting was good. And I noticed that you were one of the people that actually, for whatever the reason, offered your support amidst much of the detraction. You have been in choir performances and stage performances for as long as I've known you. What do you say to people that say, you know, the independence celebration was in fact a bit of a smudge? It was a whole lot less than what we're used to. And, you know, it was an all-night church service. What do you say to those people?
Well, again, everyone, you know, have a right to their opinion. I had a professor one time in college whose common statement was, you have the right to be wrong, right? And because of where people stand in their personal life and their religious convictions, they will have their say as to whether or not they supported it or they disagreed with it. I took the stand that I did because there initially, and we have to be very careful in understanding how this thing progressed. Mm-hmm. It progressed to the point where the argument was there were no Bahamian music being sung. Mm-hmm. But that's not where it started. Mm. The start was that, in fact, that there were no Bahamian artists being used, which was a lie.
Right.
Because everybody that performed were Bahamians.
Sure.
So that got knocked down. Mm-hmm. The issue then became there were no secular artists that were being used. Mm-hmm. And the argument for me, even among religious and gospel artists, was that the people who got the opportunity to sing and lead, some of them may not have been recording artists, but they're artists nonetheless, and they are Bahamians. Mm-hmm. And the fact for me is that every name, every popular name, once started somewhere. Mm. Mm-hmm. I was very disappointed in hearing a gospel artist make the statement, oh, they just a bunch of worship leaders who running around from people church to church singing, what happened to the big names? Well, the problem I have with that is the big names started out just like what you're claiming now. Mm-hmm. We were all running around to some to different services singing, mm-hmm. and somebody gave us a chance on the big stage. And so now they know our name, mm-hmm. all right? So the other thing for me was, if you check the history, Levan, in the 48 years of us celebrating the independence of the Bahamas, mm-hmm. twice in the history of our celebrations were the celebrations completely, strictly gospel. Mm-hmm. 1973 and 2021. Mm. All of the other years, the gospel segment was never the centerpiece. Mm-hmm. It was never given full attention. It was always, all right, while the people coming in and they settling and getting their concessions mm-hmm. and getting their little sandwich, right. let's let the gospel people sing. And sure. then when 8 o'clock comes, the show starts. Mm-hmm. So the gospel was never considered to be a part of the show. Mm-hmm. Not only that, they were always thank you when it was done. Mm-hmm. It was the secular artists that were getting the salaries and getting the remunerations. It was never the gospel. So here we come. For the second time in 48 years, mm-hmm. the gospel is being given the opportunity, number one, to have center stage. Young, up-and-coming Bahamians who have the gift, and they sung well. The choir performed well. They're being given the opportunity, and you're having all of this noise to make and all of this dissension because you're not having your time. Well, the gospel didn't make no noise when the secular was having the time. Mm-hmm. And I'm not suggesting in any way that the gospel segment or the secular ought to be disenfranchised or not given the opportunity. Mm-hmm. It should be an equal footing. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, how do you make noise when you've had 46 years mm-hmm. and we've only had two? The disparity is where I have the issue.
What about the people then that say, man, listen, the reason why we made the noise we made is because, like they said, these people are praise and worship leaders. They don't do this as an employee. They are people that sing for recreation. We, however, are people that have invested time and money and voice training and performance school and costumes and, you know, backstage, I don't know, backup dancers and even sometimes backup singers. This is my craft. And so I have been in the pandemic for a year. The one opportunity that I get to exercise my craft, you tell me I can't? Like, what should I do now? I mean, what about the people that use that argument?
And my argument to them is, again, I will pose the question, how did you get to the place to make this your craft were it not for the fact that as the praise and worship leader or as the little background singer, somebody gave you the opportunity to come to the forefront mm-hmm. to be able to show your ability to do it. They started calling you more and more. You started making some money and then you got into the studio and you spent your money and you recorded and now your name is out there. Mm-hmm. So now that you are there, we must close the door for those who are trying to get where you are. No, I don't agree with that. Mm-hmm. There are people who are asking me, Roberts, why weren't you singing? I sang last year. Mm-hmm. I can't sing every year.
Yeah, yeah.
They used me last year. Now this year they use somebody else. Mm-hmm. Let's see. The Bible says this is here. The Bible says it this way. He says that a good man leaves an inheritance for his children. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not just a father. Mm-hmm. That's in ministry. Mm-hmm. You open the door and set the stage for those who must come behind you to succeed. Sure. That's what determines whether or not you are good. That determines whether or not you're patriotic. That determines whether or not you are successful in your craft. Not for what you are making, but for the door that you're opening for those to follow. So how do we dare come to this place that now that you're on the center stage, you want to prevent anybody else from getting there the same way you got there? No, I have a problem with that.
As we are developing then, and if you're just tuning in, Christopher Roberts is with me. He's my guest. Somebody's asking me, how old did I say you was? He turned 54. See if you could catch Chicago 40 close.
please give me my 10% of you
10% is all I require. 10% is all I require, right? So what do you think that maybe we just have not evolved in our celebration enough as a nation and that maybe instead of the replication of the event of 1973, because that's what Independence Night usually looks like to me. Like, we continue to try to recreate the nostalgia of the actual night. Maybe it now needs to be a 2 or 3 day event. Maybe there needs to be Gombe and Junkanoo and that kind of music one night, and then jump up, shake and wind up your body the other night, and then we can come and let the gospel people kind of come and bring us back to Jesus, you know, the night afterwards.
The reality is this, Levan, even if we do that, well, in the first instance, let me say this, and I agree with you, what happens every year, and that's why it is high time for the celebration to be taken out of the hands of the government. Mm. It should be a community funded by the government. Mm. It should be a community effort pulled together.
But they have together. A committee. They have the independent
mind. They have a government-led committee, mm-hmm. and it should not be. Because at the end of the day, then, you're going to have the influence of politics in it. Mm-hmm. I don't care how we cut it. We know how we do politics mm-hmm. in this country. Mm-hmm. And so if we have an independent committee that must report to, like, say, the Ministry of Culture, mm-hmm. but the Ministry of Culture, for the most part, provides the budget, but allows the opportunity for that independent committee to plan and execute and make it happen. Mm-hmm. Secondly, though, even if we do the three nights thing where, you know, you have the different things, mm-hmm. at some point in that, there's going to have to be a main event. Mm-hmm. Something is going to have to be the main event marking the celebration.
Right.
And so it is, even when we would do the night of the gospel and the night of the soca and the night of the old school, in that main celebration, we should have a balance. Mm. Okay? If you ask me this year, the gospel being completely selected, if you were to ask me outside of the argument, I would say no. This is a celebration of the independence of the Bahamas, mm-hmm. and so this should cover all aspects of our culture.
Sure.
All right. But the thing about it is that if we're going to do the celebration, there's going to have to be a variation of the kind of music and performances that are had to mark the celebration, and that is what should happen.
Or maybe we could just rotate it. Maybe this year we have the jump up and wind up and shake up your body as the main event for the actual night, right? So next year we won't hear from y'all. Y'all will be either night one or night three. Next year, the year after that, it'll be Junkanoo rush out and make everybody feel good to kind of, and what it does is it changes the experience. So let's just say you have a tourist that comes to the Bahamas to enjoy the Bahamas around our independence time. Literally, you have now created an event that they don't have to become bored with, because this year they come, they saw it was a Junkanoo slam. Next year they came for whatever the reason, they come in July and it was an actual gospel fest. So you see that, and so I think you can create a product around it. We continue to look at it through this monocular, and I don't understand why.
I guess that's an argument, but for me the argument would be no. I would say that we need to be creative in the way we are presented, mm-hmm. but the main event should encompass all aspects of our culture and existence. But all right, like for worship service, I believe in our church worship experience, mm-hmm. everybody, the young person, the teenager, mm-hmm. the young adult, and the senior should come into that hour, 2 hours, whatever long you have your service, and be able to identify with some aspect of that service and leave out of there to mm-hmm. some degree fulfilled. It shouldn't be a completely praise and worship service, mm-hmm. because if you do the complete praise and worship, then the old people mm-hmm. don't feel a part mm-hmm. of it because they didn't grow up on that. Mm-hmm. So you can't go completely hymns, because if you go completely hymns, the young people are not experiencing it. And so it has to be a balance, mm-hmm. all right? In your suggestion, if you're saying that the tourists coming could have a different experience, what if the tourists who's coming just particularly want that Junkanoo experience and you want to hear the gospel and that mm-hmm. so it means that they're only going to come to the Bahamas every 3 years, mm-hmm. whereas if the experience is giving them a little bit of everything, mm-hmm. they may be inclined to come every year because they know, well, I can get my little portion and mm-hmm. then even when that's over, I could go. Mm-hmm. So for me, I think the ideal situation is to give that celebration a little piece of everything, but insist that those who are in the Junkanoo area or the gospel area, listen here, You can't come with what you came with last year. Mm-hmm. Every year you sit down to the table and let's find a different way to present this. Because mm-hmm. corned beef could be cooked in plenty different ways. Mm-hmm. It's still corned beef.
You could put a little okra in it. And,
mm-hmm. to enhance the experience. Mm-hmm. You put curry in it. You could put shrimp in it. But it's still corned beef. Yeah, you understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So give the experience, be creative, and challenge the minds of people to present it differently, that it's not just what we experienced in 73, and we're trying to relive that, like we try on coke, trying to get that hit again.
So now I want to take you to the nuts and bolts, right? You know, I think one of the issues is, one of the things that got the performers up in arms, like I've mentioned, is they all think they do it as a craft. But I smile at that because it is funny, out of the same breath, with the same mouth, Bahamians would claim that, churches are making all sorts of money. Churches are making all sorts of money. And one of the issues that I think arose out of this matter in my mind was, it's because we've done church for free for so long,
yeah.
Right? We've done free church. Like, you could come to church and don't put anything in the offering. You expect the light to be on. You want the air conditioning to blow mm-hmm. cold. You want these seats to don't be rickety. You want 1 hour way to sing in that make you feel good. When I did a production with a team that did a production for the hurricane, and I started to see some of the invoices, because even though a lot of the stuff was donated, they still show you what their invoice cost mm-hmm, would have been. Mm-hmm. And I said to myself, well, Jesus, how rare does get a drummer, a keyboard player, a bass guitar player, sometimes a saxophonist and a trumpeter to sit down through a 3-hour service, right? You have a keynote speaker. When you consider the production that is a Sunday morning service, you're talking about a $15,000 event.
Yep.
Easily $15,000. And it's every Sunday, and depending on which one of these churches you go to, because if you just go to Mount Tabor, that's twice on a Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking about $30,000 worth of just lights, we ain't counting the air conditioning yet. Light, musicians, and musical talent.
Mm-hmm.
If you then couple what public speakers make and put the pastor portion in that, mm-hmm. you probably got yourself a $20,000 event. Easily. But we do it for free every Sunday. And I think that is a part of the problem. So what do you say then? Should the church be beginning to actually consider how do we monetize the talents of the people that actually put this production on? Because if you look at the production at Salem, that was masterful. I mean, as much as I think Mark botched up the whole thing, I cannot find any fault with that event. But that production takes a whole lot of money, mm-hmm. and we do it for free all the time. How do we get gospel music to the place where we no longer see it as free talent?
Well, let me say this to start with, Levon. Mm-hmm. It's not free because somebody pays. There's a cost and somebody has to pay it.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem that I have with us people is that, and this is where churches find themselves in this position. Because if you don't do it, the people are going to leave and go someplace else.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to create this production so that when they come, they have an enjoyable experience. So they come back next week and then plenty of them mm-hmm. will not, like you say, put a dollar into the pan.
Mm-hmm.
But they expect that production when they come on Sunday.
Yeah.
Okay? I would say this. Let me quickly go back to the celebration. I would say this, and it is, and I'm not knocking anything. I'm just stating the facts.
Mm-hmm.
I could almost guarantee you that the budget for that particular event was far less than budgets of the years past. And purely on the fact that they didn't have to pay the performing artists mm-hmm. like they do with secular artists.
Mm.
Why? Because again, as they said to me last year, and I know it was different than they did with the secular artists, they said to me, we want you to sing and we will give you an honorarium.
But they want you to come sing for the honor and glory of God.
Okay,
not for the money.
Yeah. And but then the secular artists, they know they can't say to the secular artists, we can give you no honorarium.
Yeah.
Okay? Mm. So there's a cost right up front. And maybe, Levon, coming out of the pandemic, the government having to spend as much money as it did in social sustaining of the country, maybe it was a budgetary decision to go the route of the gospel artists as opposed to, I'm just saying, I don't know that it's the case, but just maybe because understanding we would not pay so much. Listen, back to your question, as it relates to the way we do ministry right now, let me speak for me. And who, if you can't do it, you can't do it. I ain't got no issue with you, but don't expect me to do it. My album that I released, God favored me to release last year. Mm-hmm. I have the receipts to show you, Levi, and that project from start to finish, from the day we started rehearsing and preparing for that event to the March 1st, 2020, when I released that album, mm-hmm. the weeks of rehearsing, the travels we had to do, the studio work, all the other things that we had to do to pull off the concert was an in excess of $50,000 to do that event and pull off my concert. Mm-hmm. So, am I now supposed to come to sing to your church for a $2 offering? And I have invested over $50,000 in that project? So I'm now supposed to come and sing for the glory of God. Mm-hmm. You, if I wear the outfit that I wore that night, you can talk, but we wearing the same thing you wear last week. So I got to find a new outfit. I got to... Listen, when do you begin to celebrate the gift that I am mm-hmm. on the level that I am? And the level that I presented myself. And at the risk of sounding arrogant, I will say this without fear of intelligent contradiction. There is no other choir project in this country mm-hmm. that was presented to the level of quality and professionalism and execution that my project was. Mm. And that's why I put the money into it.
That's a big statement.
I will say it again without fear of intelligent contradiction.
Yeah.
Okay. There's not another one
yeah.
on that level.
Okay.
But you don't appreciate it to the extent of wanting to pay for it. A couple years ago, I went, and I won't even tell you the many nights I went to rehearsal to prepare this particular local church choir for their convention. Mm-hmm. Weeks of rehearsing. The actual week, every night I had to go and direct the choir. Mm-hmm. And then on Sunday, I'm a minister in my church. Mm-hmm. And then I had to go on Sunday to direct the choir.
Yeah, we're giving you a fruit basket for that, though. We can give you a fruit basket.
$200 they gave me.
And a fruit basket.
And watch this. They flew in a guest preacher from the States, mm-hmm. paid for his airfare, put him up in a hotel, mm-hmm. fed him, and gave him to leave. And he preached for an hour and a half, and I worked for weeks mm-hmm. and directed that whole week.
So then what do you say to the people that say, man, the church making all kind of money? Like
from where?
I don't know. I don't know because I from imagine where? The equipment alone, it takes to start a church is about maybe $40,000 worth of stuff. If you know what a cordless mic costs, if you know what an amplifier costs, if you know what subwoofers cost, if you don't want to go to a church that just sounds like a cream can, like a man in a cream can mm-hmm. shouting, you have to invest the money, right?
Ivan, how much churches around here? You got people who getting married. Mm-hmm. They find the money to buy all their clothes, mm-hmm. to go on honeymoon, to do the big reception. And when the church say to do the wedding, $200, that's a problem.
Yeah.
You got them with the funerals. They can find a uniform to wear to the funeral. I call it a uniform because mm-hmm. everybody dresses like.
Everyone in playbook.
They got the uniform. They got the coffin. They have the repast. Mm-hmm. They got the limos. They got the T-shirts that they selling. Mm-hmm. And the church say, all right, $300, that's a problem. Mm-hmm. You're christening. You're all dressing like for christening. You're going to go have your big party after the christening. And the church say $100, it's a problem. Well, how's the church? But yet you want choir. You want the organist show up. You want the minister mm-hmm. To come and preach and sweat up his clothes and then show up to the graveyard and bury and then come to the repast and you have a problem. And if they say, okay, we can turn off the air condition, that's a problem. But how are these things supposed to get paid for? Mm. Where the church don't have no well that they go and throw the bucket in and pull it out of. If the people does not give to the church, and most of these people refuse to give to the church. Mm. They don't want to pay tithe. They don't want to give an offering if they go to church.
Is it because they don't? Do you think that what I'm trying to do is develop social consciousness here, right? Because, again, I think one of the reasons why people also had a disappointment with the planning of the independence celebration is because they see gospel music as free. This is supposed to be free. Like, this you're, oh, man, y'all put together this. But if you consider the fact that the production is the production, right? Like, it... You cannot argue that these people are not using their craft because this ain't their hobby. This is actually a craft. But we don't see that because we always consider anything gospel, it should just be free.
The gospel is free, yes.
Yeah.
But my presenting it.
Not me preaching it.
No. my doing it, there's a cost.
Yeah. Yeah.
And even when there is a cost, you can never pay me for what it is really worth. Mm-hmm. And I would say this even beyond the outside. Even there are a lot of churches that do not properly recognize the gift of the people who are doing ministry. And then when your organist decides, okay, the church won't pay me, so this secular band wants me to play and to give me $100 every time I play, and the church wants me to come to church 7 times a week and won't give me $75 for the 7 times for the whole week. Mm-hmm. And then he goes and he plays for this secular band. You won't stand up and preach about all the musicians shouldn't be playing secular. Well, he got a wife to feed. Mm. He have bills to pay.
Mm-hmm. And he don't pitch roof for a living.
He plays. Mm-hmm. And the church is getting the funds, but you won't remunerate him. So it's beyond just the secular world or the people not recognizing and not honoring the gift that's in the house. Sometimes the house don't appreciate the gift that's in the house.
Let me open up the phone line. 323-623-2325-4316-325-4259. You can text me 422-4796. I can tell you right out of the gate, Rev. I have somebody here that says use their favorite poison, and I can't let you leave the radio unless you sing one song for them. But I will tell you now.
Don't go buy my CD.
Rev, I'm going to tell you, Rev said he sing for money. And I ain't got none. So what you can do is you can drop off one check right downstairs. When they call us and let us know the envelope reached, man, I can have him in here singing like Florence Nightingale. let's read these text messages. Text writer here says, "Hi, Levin. I'm really concerned about the way males are treated in this society after a series of events just last year. A woman left a newborn to die. And the minister, Frankie Campbell, wanted to reunite the mother after the horrific event. Fast forward to today, the leader of the DNA physically assaults a young man and nothing is done." Well, you know, my belief is we train our boys to take abuse. That's kind of the way I think the Bahamas runs. The court is indirectly facilitating money laundering. Okay, great. Levin, you're so wrong. Down goes Frazier. He's getting hit so often. The same hand that was hit by Muhammad Ali. Frazier's down again. Yeah. You could go Google it. You could go into YouTube, type "down goes Frazier." The fight with him and George Foreman will pop up. This one here says, "That's money, Mr. Miller. 405 is box." I say, "Well, listen, the Bible says, bring ye all the tithes and offering into the storehouse. Bring ye the 10% of the number house money to Levin." All right? Let's take a phone call. Good morning, caller. You're on. Caller, you there? Caller, you're on. Nothing. Next text writer said, caller, you there? Not there. Give me a call back. 323-623-2325-4316. 325-4259. Dude, does it sound like I say that fast to you? People tell me every single time they see me, Rev, you say the numbers so fast. I say the numbers every day. If you write it down, if you start Monday writing down one of the numbers that I say, by next week Monday, you should call the show. Levin, morning to both you and Chris. Please wish Chris a wonderful birthday for me.
Thank you.
This year says, great show as usual. Could you repeat your guest age? I already did. But y'all people like to buy numbers, eh? This just says,
that's why some of us stop repeating the scripture we read in church.
Matter of fact, Rev just is saying, "Nah, I'm going to be talking to you this morning from the book of Acts."
Yeah.
Yeah, and then start reading. He ain't calling no number. Let's take a phone call. Good morning, caller. You're on. Caller, you there?
Yes, I'm right here. Good morning. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Yes. Hello?
Hey, caller.
Yes, great show. I just want to ask you just a question. Maybe one way to cut down, because I have to, you know, get a Sunday, and I spend money just to get ready to go to church, and I'm wondering if I could make a savings here. Notice that the COVID has given us an opportunity to do virtual work, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe a guest may find it more convenient to see if he can be more virtual with what he's doing and not have to make a physical appearance and have to be so costly. What you think?
Well, I don't know. I mean, there are some things about that. If you know black church, which is what I like to call it, right? Man, some of them things you got to be in person for. It ain't the same.
But my question to the caller is, virtual or in full presence, am I not doing the same performance?
And he's saying that maybe you should start to do it more virtually.
But even if I do it virtually,
uh-huh,
am I still not doing the same performance?
Yeah.
If I have to sing, and if I have to sing it virtually, so what? I'm not going to put my all into it because it's virtual. It's the same execution, and so it demands the same response.
Yeah. This year says, hi, Carl. It's like Ernie Baha versus Marvin Johnson. Marvin Johnson did a number on him. Yeah, well, I see y'all really like it. Go Google it. This year says, is this the same Christopher Roberts from R.M. Bailey, Class 84? It is. It is. It is. Yeah, and he never lets us forget that.
But you cannot say the just R.M. Bailey. It's the great R.M. Bailey.
Oh, goodness. I tell you, we just handle titles around here. 323-622-325-4316-325-4259. You can text me on 4224796. Christopher Roberts is my guest. He is. It's his birthday, so if you see him out, make sure I give him some cake money. You like cake?
Not really, you know.
No?
I don't bother with sweets really too much. I like real food. That's where my weight comes from. So to bring me some oxtail and crab and rice and yeah.
All right, and we're talking about, in case you're just joining us, we're talking about the production of actual. What do you say to people who says that those people that sing and actually do gospel music, it's not about performance, it's about ministry?
I used to say that until I came to an understanding. Listen, there are some of us who get so caught up in spiritualities that we lose sense of sensibility. Mm-hmm. The reality is, when you get on stage where to preach or to sing, it is a performance. Mm-hmm. You are performing. Mm-hmm. And so certain things must be taken into consideration. That's why we are careful with what we wear. Mm-hmm. And we rehearse so that we can make sure what comes out of our mouth or what we say is it makes sense. There is that performance. But what switches and makes it ministry, mm-hmm, is when we understand that the performance is more to the audience that is above us than the audience that's sitting in front of us. Mm-hmm. That the audience in front of us is the recipient, happens to be the overflow recipient, mm-hmm, of what is projected to the audience above us. That is what makes it ministry. Mm-hmm. But in and of itself, it is performance. You cannot separate the two. So we perform. Mm-hmm.
And you have to think about, you have to think about the same things that Beyonce has to think about. You have to think
everything.
About voice control, pitch, range. You have to think about wardrobe malfunctions. And I think a wardrobe malfunction in church is worse than one at a Beyonce concert. The last thing I want Rev do is get up in high gear and he pants boys in half. That we will never, ever, ever let that.
I've seen preachers preach it and dentures drop out. I've seen women singing and wigs fly off. Those kind of things you have to insure. Mm-hmm. And that's money. Mm-hmm. You got to buy the proper kind of, I don't know what glue they use for dentures, but you got to buy the proper thing. Where you think that coming from?
Yeah.
You got to make sure that wigs are on right, mm-hmm, so that it doesn't come flying off. Because once that comes off, you then lose the audience.
Yeah, yeah.
So those things are important. Mm-hmm. They are important.
And especially since you know, the worship experience is one that is so solemn, you know, you really do not want to end up finding yourself as a distraction.
Yeah.
Once you lose it, you lose it, right?
Yeah.
323-622-3253-316-325-4259. Text writer here says, you were confused. Carl Bethel did not attend God. He ought to have attended God on a constitution matter, right? Just my opinion. Christopher Roberts is here with me. So what else do you have planned to get into? We've got about 5 more minutes left on the show. What else do you have planned to get into, you know, after the whole award ceremonies and that kind of stuff? You got any projects right now in the pipeline?
Well, the thing is, while I celebrate the awards that are coming and the recognition that's coming, that's never what we did it for. Mm-hmm. We just had, to be honest with you, I do not even really consider myself an artist. Mm-hmm. I mean, in and of itself, the fact that we've produced, I guess, puts you in that category, but that's not something that was ever my shoot. I just had some songs that the Lord blessed me with, mm-hmm, and I believed that they would have been a blessing to people, and I wanted to get them out there. A wonderful thing that I will share with the audience that happened this week, Tuesday, one of the songs on my album, mm-hmm, was presented to the gospel, to the mass choir of the Gospel Music Workshop of America. Mm. Gospel Music Workshop of America this year celebrates their 54th year. And every year, artists, writers from around the world have the opportunity to submit songs to be selected to be sung by the mass choir. Mm-hmm. They, in fact, called me and asked me to submit that particular song. I would be the third Bahamian in the history of the GMWA to ever have one of their songs presented. And if you know anything about the Gospel Music Workshop of America, founded by the late James Cleveland, then you would understand the magnitude of that opportunity. Mm. And so here again, we thank God for that opportunity. People always ask, what's coming next? If we, when I can do another CD or thingam? And my answer to them always is, give me the money. Because it's going to cost to do that.
So, okay. Do you find then that your music resonates internationally? Do you, like, I know you sang, I think one of your more popular ones is it Jehovah Nicotine?
Jehovah Nicotine.
Yeah. How does that resonate in the international community?
I could show you a video right now of, there's a Bahamian friend who took one of my CDs to Tennessee to a white preacher friend. And he sent me a message the other day. He says, man, Pastor just sent me a video of his little boy dancing and singing Jehovah Nicotine, a white little boy. All right? The music is gone. Okay. It is gone. The music is being played all through Africa. We're being played through Europe, in the Caribbean. I mean, I've done numerous interviews on different radio stations, and they all love the music. And the beauty, I think, about this project is it isn't just one kind of music. It is almost every song gives you a different feel, is a different type. And so it is appreciated by both locals and internationals, and it's moving.
Well, Rev, we're out of time. Tell people how we could find you on social media.
Well, on social media, well, you know, at 54, I ain't getting caught up in all of these platforms. I'm on Facebook, Christopher Hyler, H-U-Y-L-E-R, Christopher Hyler Roberts. That's where I'm at on Facebook. All of the music, if you're interested, you can go on YouTube, Christopher Roberts and Friends, and watch the entire concert. If you want to be a support and purchase the music, it's available on all of the online stores, Christopher Roberts and Friends.
This here says, Chris Roberts is speaking my language. After spending thousands in college to obtain a music degree, I ain't doing nothing for free in no church, nowhere, for that matter. All right, thank you so much for tuning in. You know me already, I'm Levin Miller. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I've been unleashed on your radio. But don't move, they've got news for you, and it's next.
Become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtapositioning us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walked through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots, we on the ground. The camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Oh, now the war is not over, victory isn't won, but we'll fight on to the finish, and when it's all done, we'll cry glory, oh glory, oh, oh, oh. We'll cry glory, oh glory, oh, oh.
Every man, woman, and child. Even Jesus got his crown in front of a crowd. They march with the torch, we gon' run with it now. Never look back, we done gone hundreds of miles. From dark roads, heroes, to become a hero. Facing the League of Justice, his power was the people. Enemy is lethal, a king became regal. Saw the face of Jim Crow under a bald ego. The biggest weapon
is to stay peaceful. We sing, our music is the cuts that we bleed through. Somewhere in the dream we had an epiphany. Now we right the wrongs in history. No one can win a war individually. It takes the wisdom of the elders and young people's energy. Welcome to the story we call victory. The coming of the Lord, my eyes have seen the glory.
One day, when the glory comes,